Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 629 and is sponsored by Knit Companion, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, and Oink Pigments. This week's segments include On the Needles,
In Stitches,
Events,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks,
Tour de Fleece Training,
Knits in Space, Strawn to Gold,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. My name is Jasmine, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My name is Gigi, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
Genevieve is not joining us this week because she is tired. Today was a busy day at school. There was a lot of learning, a lot of art, and a lot of running. So, I did want to say a quick thank you to everyone who gave us feedback on the sound quality for Genevieve and suggested that perhaps we adjust her sound levels. She and I have been sharing a microphone since she was snoring in the sling on the podcast. And we, thanks to our sponsors and you lovely listeners who let them know that you've heard about them from our podcast, we were able to order the new equipment we needed with no issue. So that's coming, I think, tomorrow. So in next week's episode, she should have her own setup, assuming that I can get everything working the way it should. So, and if we don't, then it'll be just one extra week with her sitting practically in my lap. Because while there will always be room in my heart and theoretically in my lap, the two of those plus a microphone are a bit challenging to do. So that being said, let's get into our knitting.
So, Lovey, what are you working on?
I have a couple of things I'm working on this week. Not too many, just kind of a focused effort.
What happened?
It's just a focused effort is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So this week, I made some progress on the body of my Modern Art pullover, which is the cover sweater from The Art of Circular Yokes. I'm knitting that in Magpie Fibers, Swanky DK in Bougie Beaver for the hashtag Magpie Beavalong 2021.
And what color is this?
It's a beautiful rose gold.
Oh, okay.
Or Victorian pink, depending on your frame of reference. I'm really enjoying it. It's the body shaping, so I can knit a few rounds, do something interesting, knit a few rounds, do something interesting.
I think the German word for that color would be Altrosa.
Which means?
Old pink.
Oh, yeah. It's really beautiful.
It is.
It's a nice blushy pink.
I think is a rather muted pink.
It is, but it's a nice, it looks nice with my natural hair color, which I don't have, but you know.
I think I might even like that color.
You may. Well, if you'd like to try it on when I'm done, you are welcome to.
I absolutely will.
What are you working on this week?
I'm working on the three socks that I cast on last week. They are The Vanilla is the New Black pattern, and it's the Oink Yarn of the Month Club, and I have three colors. One is Siren's Call.
It's actually Siren's Cal, C-A-L, like a crochet along. It's a play on words.
Oh.
I checked. I thought they had a typo on their website.
Woolly Bully. And Live Laugh Lava. And the Live Laugh Lava is, well, it looks like lava. It's three different intensities of orange with some gray and some dark burnt bits.
It's really beautiful.
Yes. And Siren's Call, I think it's that one that has hot pink, fuchsia, and blue. And Woolly Bully is the one that looks like gentle camel. So green tones, bits of brown, and bits of light. It looks like a dapple shade somewhere.
Lovely.
Yes.
That sounds beautiful.
And I'm making progress.
That's good to hear.
all of them have gone past the heel increases.
Well, that's marvelous.
Well, one is still doing heel increases, but yeah, it's coming along nicely. And I think you might like the...
Live, Laugh, Lava?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I keep looking at it every time. So when Mom can't find the link she's looking for in the show notes, she leaves a little note for me to populate the link. And every time I look at that color, I think to myself, wow, I really like that color. Because I'm trying to consume less. I'm trying to purchase less for the time being. Of course, like right now, while we're podcasting, of course, my intentions are really good. And sometimes they fly out the window the instant we turn off the microphones and I leave my mom's house. Or even sooner if someone texts me with something while we're recording. Though you have my undivided attention, listeners and Mom.
That's good to know.
You're welcome. I love you. All of you. If you're a listener and you needed that, the I love you is for you too. Sometimes you need one.
Yep.
Right? So it's really, really beautiful. I need to finish a few more projects before I buy new things.
I find that I don't want to wear a whole lot of colors. Mm-hmm. But I still need color in my life. And knitting socks is perfect.
Marvelous.
And I've decided that most of the socks I don't want for myself.
Okay.
So
you're happy to Cinderella them?
Cinderella?
Yeah. Sometimes the socks find the wearer.
Yes.
Fair. Fair, fair. I am knitting a swatch. Right now. Right now.
Nothing rhymes with that color.
No, this is actually a sunshiny yellow. With bits of lemon yellow in it. This is Tess Yarn's Raw Silk.
It's reading orange to me.
It's the light. The lights in your house are warm, whereas the lights in my house tend to be full spectrum because I'm very particular.
Okay.
With a capital V. Very particular. But I love the hand of this yarn. I bought it, I want to say last year, because occasionally on their social media, they put up, Tess Yarns will put up like, we have one skein of this random thing.
Tell me again what the fiber content is.
Raw silk.
Ooh.
And it feels firm, yet yielding. It's got a nice hand to it. It's fingering weight. And I am swatching for the test knit for the tucks and pleats top that Ainur Berkambayeva is doing right now. And I'm really excited because this was out of my stash. And I had to confirm that I had the right yarn so that, you know, I mean, if I didn't, I would have just ordered something. Because, listen, my resolve sounds really good when I say it. But honestly, if I don't have the right yarn for my project, right out the window. So anyway, this is, I'm going to pass this to you to feel because it's really lovely. I cast it on right before I came over because everything else is kind of big and unwieldy and it is unbelievably hot right now. So I don't want the whole sweater sitting on my lap. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm hoping to launder my swatch this afternoon when I get home. And then it'll be dry because you're supposed to wet block this swatch.
It's soft right now, but it doesn't quite feel like silk yet.
It doesn't feel like cotton when you knit it. It feels different. So my hands aren't complaining because if I had knit this much in plain cotton, my hands would be complaining already.
Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying it, both the color and the hand of the yarn. And I'm really excited about that. And do you have anything else? I have one more thing.
I don't.
Okay. Well, then I will continue. Yesterday, or, you know, Tuesday, for whenever the episode drops, I'm hoping to get it dropped this week so we can get back on our regular dropping schedule. The kids and I went to Andrew's sister's house because she had an Afghan that she was hoping to learn how to mend. And she said it was a knitted Afghan, and she does knit, but it was not a knitted Afghan. It was a crocheted Afghan. Fortunately, I took literally everything in my house I thought I would need to do mending. So an embroidery hoop, a darning mushroom, several books in case I needed technique-y stuff or I wanted to show her what I was going to do. I took the embroidery floss collection, so that she could match colors for
your
repairs.
Your collection.
My collection, not your collection. My collection is partly in a nice binder and the rest of it is just kind of in a plastic bag because it's still waiting to be put away in its little organizer-y thing. So anyway, so we get there and she spreads it out on this nice table outside. So it was a beautiful day. I'm overlooking the Santa Cruz Mountains where I'm sitting, by the way. Mm-hmm. And because I've never mended anything with a view. And the reason for that is because I'm usually curled up in my chair with my big Ott light pointing down so I can see very clearly what I'm doing. And so we spread it out and we marked all the holes and we matched the colors. We didn't match the colors. Because she wanted it to be visible, like intentionally. Because I was like, I can do my best to make this disappear into it, or you can pick deliberately contrasting colors. And she went for deliberately contrasting.
Okay.
So it's crocheted. It's that center.
It's a granny square.
It's a granny square thing, but not like a flower granny square. It's one of those like four double crochets into one section, and then you move on and do the next one. So there's these big open holes and no structure to just like mend it on top. You have to build the structure back in and basically reverse engineer it in because it's built from the center out, and you have to rebuild those parts that got chewed. Like someone said about Sam's alpaca sweater when I mended it and I posted the pictures that mm-hmm. the moths made breakfast, lunch, and dinner out of it. And that's kind of what this felt like. And so after we matched the colors in the sections, we went through and we made sure to mark every single spot that needed to be mended with a silver gourd-shaped safety pin.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of us went over it with our eyes, and Genevieve looked it over, and we marked everything. And I told his sister that I wanted to take it home and finish it because it was tricky. Because she goes, I didn't invite you over to dump work on you. Like, I really feel bad. And I said, well, you don't crochet yet. And while my crocheting is somewhat pitiful, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know where it goes. I'll do it, and I'll launder it, and I'll send it back because it's an odds and ends afghan. Like, you can totally tell that she was making the gauge sort of work as she went, and I will tell you who she is in a moment because that is the best part of this entire story. So anyway, mm-hmm. I'm giving you the technical mending up front, and you're going to get the delicious story for dessert. So she didn't want to dump it on my shoulders. And I said, let me just do a nice job of this. I know this is a really special piece to you. I'll send it after I've washed it. I've got everything I need to wash delicate woolens at my house. It hadn't been laundered in a very long time because she knew it was supposed to be hand washed, but she wasn't sure exactly what was the right wool wash and what would damage it and what she was supposed to do, and like all the anxiety of a gift that's special and irreplaceable, which is why I said I would do it. Now here's the other part that I didn't say anything about. My sister-in-law has cats. Andrew's family has been a cat family for, I don't know, since cats were invented.
He had Fluffy
when we were dating.
When you met him.
Yep.
And Fluffy was 19 by that time.
She was 19 when she passed. So but Fluffy was by far not the first cat. And since Andrew's grandmother had crocheted it, there was a lot of cat. And so I put a bed sheet over my chair so that I could work under my good lamp. I pulled out my odds and ends bag from the garage because I've been saving the odds and ends that are too much to just toss and not enough for a whole project. And I matched the colors of DMC floss because the DMC floss is fine for some repairs, but it just was too splitty and too disagreeable.
Too thin.
Well, I doubled it to make it work.
Okay.
And I didn't love how it looked, and I didn't love how it felt. And so I pulled out some left, and I asked her, I was like, would you mind if I switch these out for the same colors but in wool? And she's like, not at all. Do your thing. And so I finished it. I had a meeting. So I'm sitting in my chair participating in a meeting and mending this blanket. And oh, by the time I got home, it was also pretty hot. So I figured out how to have this on my chair without having it on my body, which was a very delicate balance of comfort and lack of ergonomics so that I would not die under the heat of this massive blanket. And here's the thing is, you would think something that was literally full of holes, each one is the size of maybe a nickel, wouldn't be hot. But let me tell you, it was.
The holes are from the crochet pattern.
Yes, the holes from the crochet pattern. It's open work. So
it's a traditional Standard Granny Smith square.
Not Granny Smith. Granny. Do you need a snack, Mom?
Yeah, I think I'm ready for my afternoon snack.
An apple a day keeps the moths away, you know. So anyway, so I finished it by, 8:15, 8:30 last night. And this is around before and after dinner. I worked on it and during my meeting. And I threw it in our washing machine on the wool cycle, which is basically cold water, wash, cold water rinse. And it goes like this. And then it sits still. And then it goes flop. One rotation. And that's it for 35 minutes. So I did that because it was too big for me to hand wash in one of my one of my buckets from the hardware store. And then we have a sweater drying rack, which I think I've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew folded it, put it on that, and then ran a second cycle where he unfolded it and then reverse folded it, like folded it the opposite direction.
Okay.
So it would dry, but not be, we wouldn't have to like find 75 sweater racks to put it on or risk stretching it by putting it over a something in the yard. So by 10 o'clock last night,
put a sheet
on the lawn
and put it over the sheet.
Yes, that was my original plan until Andrew came up with a better one. So by 10 o'clock last night, something that has been sitting and sitting and sitting in a bag waiting to be repaired because my sister-in-law was worried about damaging it,
mm-hmm.
further damaging it.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Fixed.
Excellent.
So here's the story. My grandmother-in-law? Is that a thing?
Your husband's mother.
No, my husband's grandmother.
Your husband's grandmother.
Andrew's grandmother was an amazing woman. So here's how I got the story, because Andrew's family is somewhat tight with the stories. I'm going to be real. Whereas we are very loose and generous after 629 episodes, you have noticed we like to share stories.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with Andrew for 21 years, and there are 6 family stories. That's it. But I got a 7th, and now I'm sharing it with you with permission. So I sat down to start working on this, and I said, so who made this? Tell me about who made this blanket. And I got a story. And here's the thing, I never would have gotten this story if there hadn't been a piece of textile art that needed repair and that was loved enough to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this really lovely moment of connection where my sister-in-law started talking about her grandmother. And apparently she and her grandmother were super tight. They had a really strong relationship. She was the daughter of a rear admiral in the Navy. And when she got married, this is Grandma Irwin. When she married the admiral, her husband was Admiral Lockwood, and he was serving in World War II. She went and bought the house and the property that became like the family homestead.
Oh, good for her.
Which was not a thing that was done. She served as the mayor of Monte Sereno. She was in charge of a bunch of stuff. I think she was on the board of the fire department as well, I think. But she was this incredible woman doing all of these unconventional things. And here's the most galling part for me. I Googled her name, and all she is a footnote in her husband's Wikipedia page. She gardened. She painted. There are paintings throughout the family homes that I've seen that belonged to Grandma Irwin that no one said, oh, Grandma Irwin painted this. I just assumed they'd sat for paintings. She did crochet and knitting. And when she was living around the house, my sister-in-law would worry about her getting hurt while she was swimming, so my sister-in-law would stand outside and chat with her while she was swimming laps. She would swim 100 laps a day in the pool in the backyard. And she had this very structured, and she was ambitious, and she had a lot going on. And it's excellent to get that little piece of history, but also so galling to look up a person
To have to look her up.
No, to look her up. And because I was like, I wonder what I'll find when I look her name up.
Hmm.
Oh, look, her husband. That's it. But she accomplished all these things. She helped found Monte Sereno. She's one of the founders. And all of these things. But no record.
Is that the grandma who had a stroke?
No, that's the other one. Because I asked, I said, was this, which grandma was this? And that's how I got the story of the Afghan. So I repaired it. I laundered it. I added some lavender because we talked about moth defense systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if lavender isn't offensive to you, I'll sprinkle some in the wash water and that'll help kind of embed it in the fibers so mm-hmm. that, you know, it doesn't have a strong smell, but it has enough smell. And Andrew was having a birthday lunch with his siblings today, so I sent it off in a bag. And the bag came back, and I thought, oh no, she hates it. And he said, she loves it. But we opened it up and found this. And there was one hole that four sets, because I brought it home, and I had him check, too, to make sure I hadn't missed anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been marked with a safety pin. Just got totally missed. So I'm going to fix that little section, and then... But it was really lovely because Andrew said they were discussing the blanket while they were having lunch and where they remember seeing it around the house and all those things. So his sister is delighted. And so am I.
I think Grandma Erin would have liked us.
I think so, too. I think that's one of the amazing things about textile restoration. Specifically, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I'm a textile restorian. No. Restorer. You know what? Just insert the correct word and pretend I said it. All right? I'm going to go, a textile. Yes, that's what I am. Thank you for filling that word in for me, helpful listeners who are yelling at your AirPods, car speakers, house speakers, computer speakers, etc. But it was just one of those things where, like, a small repair on a beloved item.
I have the Farsi word.
What is it?
Rufugar.
Rufugar?
Rufu is mending, mm-hmm. and gar is a suffix. It's like or, doing, doer.
Hmm.
Rufugar.
Well, now you know the Farsi word for it. Thanks. Thanks, Mom. And you're welcome, listeners. But it's that thing where, like, repairing a beloved piece makes a difference. So a favorite pair, and it doesn't have to be, like, your grandmother's blanket. It can be your favorite jean jacket or a shirt you really like, or putting a button back on something, because not everyone feels confident with these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is my Afghan repair story. And none of this would have happened if I hadn't fallen head first down the visible mending rabbit hole. So is that it for On the Needles?
That's it for On the Needles.
Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Are you feeling disgruntled about your stash? Are you browsing Insta ham looking for knitting inspiration? Is color kind of a pig deal in your life? Oink Pigments offers over 140 picture-perfect colorways to make you squeal with delight. For a limited time only, bring home the bacon with code KNITMORE and get 15% off in-stock yarns and fibers at oinkpigments.com. Shop soon because these pigs will fly. You can find links to Oink Pigments along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
What has you in stitches this week?
Well, you know it is
Me Made Me. Yep.
Yes. So, I wore and am wearing right now the flannel shirt from clothing construction class. Do you know, I was noodling around on Facebook and I saw Jensen Ackles
mm-hmm.
in a flannel shirt exactly the same colorway. Yes. And
you're both cutie patooties.
Yes. And one thing that I did with this, the backs of the collars and cuffs
mm-hmm.
are done in a coordinating black flannel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a nice touch.
It is very, very fancy.
And
so, and as soon as you mark the buttonholes, I will put them in for you.
Yes.
Best daughter ever.
That you are. So
I'm your best daughter ever anyway.
Absolutely. So flannel shirt, night shirts that I've sewn a few summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I wore the the other short sleeve camp shirt when it was warmer. And I'm sleeping under my California Cal King quilt,
which is going to be mine as soon as I steal it.
Ha! And I also put the Halloween quilt on my bed because some delicate places need a little bit extra warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Arthritis and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I thought, the quilts count too.
Absolutely. You made those.
Yes, I did.
Ridiculous. Ugh. Silly hashtag. Speaking of silly hashtags,
mm-hmm.
and what has had us in stitches, I got to wear my Match and Move shawl for the first time today. I am wearing a jumpsuit romper. It's one piece and makes me look like a giant toddler, and I love it. It's comfortable. The fabric is a jersey that breathes, and it looks like it's been paint spattered with rainbow colors. And it's got super wide legs. Like, this is basically being able to wear a robe in public.
It looks like a drop cloth.
It does look like a drop cloth in the best way.
Yes.
And
it's black with bright colors on it.
Which is perfect because it matches my Match and Move shawl perfectly. And I just needed a little something over my shoulders this morning while I was weaving an ends on the Afghan. Because I was like, oh, I just want to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
So I laundered it and then wove in the ends so that everything would be kind of blocked into place mm-hmm. before I tucked in the ends. And yes, I did it myself. So that was wrapped around my shoulders. And then Genevieve, did I mention that my chair was going to be delivered at some point this week?
I don't think so.
So I ordered a birthday chair, and it's nice because...
What's a birthday chair?
It's a chair that I bought for my birthday. And you and Sam helped fund the mom chair, as we like to call it. And it got delivered yesterday, and I have been availing myself of it. It's nice and wide. It's got good lumbar support. The rocking chair has seen better days after 10 years.
What happened with the rocking chair? There were tears yesterday.
Rex is not ready to let go of the rocking chair, even though he likes the new chair much better, because there's room for all of our butts. So I took Genevieve with me to the Lazy Boy store
mm-hmm.
to test it mm-hmm. and to because I decided I wanted a recliner with the footy part attached, the ottoman attached, so that I don't have to worry about finding space for an ottoman in our living room. And I took Genevieve, and we made sure we could both sit comfortably in the chair side by side. And not only can Genevieve sit side by side with me in it, but if we sit rather snugly, Rex can sit on my other side, and then both dogs jump on top. So it is what we refer to as a family chair. And if you think this is different from how they were sitting on me in my one-seat-wide rocking chair, you would be incorrect. If one creature or child is on my lap, then every creature and child needs to be in my lap. So this was for everyone's comfort. And it's a good snuggling chair. And we've been making excellent use of it for the last day and a half. So this is my chair. And I had it draped over my shoulder. So Genevieve came up and she wrapped it around her shoulders on the other side when we got home from school, the Match and Move shawl, because okay. we're sitting in one chair. And it's currently just flung over the back with no thought to anything, but it's just there at the moment. So I'm really happy. It's a perfect seat to do it in. And I never thought about investing in a chair for myself like that.
Where did you get this?
The Lazy Boy store.
Ah.
It took 6 months and it was supposed to take to deliver when it was supposed to take 12 weeks. But COVID happens and mm-hmm. I have my chair now. So I'm going to be very happy and live in it forever. The end.
Excellent.
So yeah, I wore my shawl while I was in my chair and I snuggled with my kids in it. It was just perfect. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. When was the last time your knitting yarn was a work of art? Infinite Twist produces one-of-a-kind, semi-solid gradients featuring speckles, highlights, lowlights, and gorgeous color transitions. From 700-yard giant gradients to 200-yard matching sock sets, Infinite Twist gradients will hold your interest from cast-on to bind-off. See the currently available gradients at infinitetwist.com or be the first to know when new colors are posted by signing up for our newsletter at infinitetwist.com/newsletter-signup. You can find links to Infinite Twist along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Mother Dearest.
Yes.
What events are we participating in the near future?
So the Knit Girls is Fail Along is ongoing. And and they are hosting Stash Dash in May in other places.
It starts Friday. So Friday of this week, Friday the 28th, I think.
So they are starting their summer vacation then.
Yep. And well, excellent. I'm going to start beating Boston Jen starting this Friday.
Excellent. Okay. The 2020 Summer Olympics will begin on Friday, July 23, 2021. Tour de Fleece runs from Saturday, June 26, 2021 to Sunday, July 18, 2021. And Fiber World runs from July 21st through 25th.
And there's a live, or not a live, there's an Instagram TV episode thing on our Instagram at KnitMoreGirls on Instagram, and we'll link to that along with everything else in the show notes, because I chatted with Kel on Friday about Fiber World and accessibility and all those things, and it was, I'm gonna warn you now, Rex had a series of meltdowns while I was on the live. It was a very authentic family experience. However, it was exceedingly relevant to the discussion about how do you participate in these things if, like me, you have a busy and chaotic household. So I'm really, really excited about that. That is it. Let's move on to the next segment.
This week for Mother Knows Best, we are going to answer a question from the What Do You Want to Hear About thread. Jasmine Lovey, what was this week's question?
This week's question reads, I've been listening continuously to the Knit More Girls podcast from the first episode. I love it. Thanks, Fiber Fevered. However, I would also like more info regarding the reason that the Knit More Girls are continuing to object to Ravelry and will offer no more links to the site. My limited understanding matches yours, Holjane. Ravelry has tried to adjust their formatting to accommodate different preferences and needs. Because the Knit More Girls are so firm in their stand, I keep feeling like I've missed something else. Please take a little time on the podcast to fill us in. Again, Knit More Girls? Okay, so to give you the shortened version, and then I will give you places to go so you can make your own informed decisions. Ravelry switched the look and design of the site, and in testing, it was causing neurological issues, migraines, seizures, etc., with the testers, the beta testers on the back end, and their feedback was ignored. And then when they did the big switch over, a lot more people had issues, obviously, because when you release something to a larger market, more people will be exposed to it, etc. And more people had issues, and it started causing serious issues for a lot of users. And they briefly let you switch back to the old Ravelry, but that was still an issue for some people somehow, and I'm not entirely sure for them. But when they did something called end of life, which is when you cut something off, in May or
Tech
March.
Talk.
I don't know if it's Tech Talk, but basically, when they turned that off and everyone was forced to use new Ravelry or no Ravelry, I started getting serious motion sickness from the website. And I have tried it with dark mode. I've tried it without my contacts. I have tried it without my glasses, which doesn't work anyway because I need them to see. I can't get rid of contacts and go on my computer, and I can't have, you know, it just doesn't work that way. So I have tried it every way, and I get seriously motion sick. And the bigger issue with this is that the community said we're having issues and they were ignored. Discussions on Ravelry were shut down and deleted. Ravelry wasn't responding to people on Twitter. Basically, Ravelry sending out messages and not responding to users is the largest issue that we have, that there is, from what I understand. And I'll link to the hashtag Ravelry Accessibility on Twitter, and I'll link to a couple of more comprehensive explanations on Instagram, like KTB38 did some really good discussing on that. But what I will say is, if Ravelry works for you and you're okay with that, it's totally your choice to use it or not. That's great for you. If somebody has, like, for example, I don't have seizures ever, but when I go to a movie that has flashing lights and there's a warning that says if there are flashing light sequences and if you have seizures, you might have an issue, I don't say, well, I'm not having seizures, so it's not an issue for anybody. I think disregarding people's suffering, they did not talk to anyone's doctors. They talked to one doctor who hadn't seen any of the people who were affected by the thing. And that's not representative. I believe in believing people when they tell you something is hurting them and not doing it. I don't know why they can't switch back to the old Ravelry that so many people contributed to. Because now a lot of the people who contributed to the success of the website can't use the website. For me personally, this morning I spent 20 minutes on Ravelry trying to move my project pages to the Google Drive folder, which is now public. I have a project page template on there that I can copy. I can drop my pictures in. I can drop my notes in there. I will show you how to do it. It's a little fiddly, but moving forward, it'll be easier. And I was feeling really bad when I was done. Like I had to take a break because my stomach was feeling so lousy. And that is, as far as I'm concerned.
You usually don't get motion sick.
I do sometimes in the car, but nothing that sitting in the front seat doesn't solve. This, I'm not like you. I'm not like you, Mom. Mom is very delicate in her constitution. There is not a motion that she does not find abhorrent. And I will leave it at that because this is a knitting podcast. But to put it...
not a medical podcast.
Not a medical podcast. But like Mom said, I'm usually not affected by stuff like that. And it's such a small complaint to be like, oh, it's making me motion sick. But it also...
if it makes you nauseous.
Why would I use it? Exactly. So I'm reducing my use of it and trying to move as much as we can off because... to put it very frankly, it makes me ill. It's making me not feel good. And I also believe all of the people who say that. And I'm trying to support safe practices for everyone. We're trying to be inclusive. And that's not where Ravelry is right now. So that is that. I will link to the hashtag Ravelry accessibility thread. There are people who are collecting this information and churning out data points based on that, yes?
Ignoring women who are saying they're not feeling good.
It's the patriarchy. Hooray.
Yeah.
And you can be complicit in the patriarchy even if you are not a woman. Isn't that interesting? Being a woman who doesn't believe women who say, I am in pain, I am suffering.
You can be complicit in the patriarchy even if you are a woman.
Yes. Isn't that what I said?
No.
Okay. Yes, that one. So anyway, that is what we've got so far. I am setting up a Google Doc, a Google folder in Google Drive. So many Googles. A folder in Google Drive with all my project pages. It's public, just like my Ravelry one was. All of my links will still be there, except to Ravelry. Anything that's linking into Ravelry, I will not include. I will include external links because I don't want to be responsible for someone getting sick because of something I did. If someone told me I'm allergic to peanuts, I wouldn't say, well, I'm not allergic to peanuts and give them a big old peanut butter sandwich. I would say, okay, let's do something different. Easy enough, right? Mm-hmm. And there are things like fiber.club that are looking to fill that niche that Ravelry had before. And I'm where we are, we, the podcast, we, you and I and Genevieve, are supporting that Patreon, which we'll link to in the show notes. Is there anything else you want to add to this?
I'm disappointed in them.
Same. So if you like Ravelry, if you're still able to use it, that's great. It's just not as usable for us. So I'm spending as little time as I can possibly manage there because we still have the forum group on there and I still have all of my patterns and things hosted, which I don't know how I can organize them outside of Ravelry. And if someone has a suggestion, I would love to hear it. But for the time being, it is what it is. And we are doing the best we can to accommodate everyone, because if you're not, if you are a Ravelry user, it's easy enough to plug stuff into Ravelry. And if you're not, that's when it gets more complicated. So that's it for that. Do you have anything you want to add?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with the Woolly Wonder Sheepleverse or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our Project Bags totes and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane, along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode, in the show notes.
It's when knitting attacks.
Mother dearest.
Love it.
How fareth your knitting?
Well, I cast on all these Vanilla is the New Black socks, and I thought, since I like to give them away, I try casting on different amounts of socks. So I cast on
different amounts of stitches?
Stitches,
that's
yes.
The one. Thank goodness there's two of us. I've got you.
Thank you. And good thing you do. So I cast on 64 stitches and started doing increases. And I looked at it and it looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's too many stitches for a lady's sock and not enough for a man. So I cast on again with just 60 stitches.
Okay.
Which is kind of a roomy lady's sock.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
for your foot.
Not for my foot, for my giving away.
Oh, for your giving away pile?
Okay. Pile. Yes.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step several rows back or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all of your patterns and is available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You can find links to Knit Companion along with everything we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. It's training time. These events aren't for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. You have to be prepared to train and work and sweat. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to get you ready to compete. Are you down with that? Are you going to be part of Team Sasquatch? Then let's get started. Something I really love about the training segment is that it's that small bites concept. Any large thing can be accomplished in small bites, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for this week, this is where the training splits off. For your Panathenic Games knitting, if you're doing knitting or a project that has a pattern, you're going to hunt for errata. And for the Tour de Fleece training, you're going to spin a sample. I like to do about 1 ounce. People like Jillian Moreno are more aggressive with their sampling. And you do what feels right for you
mm-hmm.
to test your wheel and your fiber or your drop spindle and fiber. So that is training for this week. And that's it until next week. Let's move on to the next segment. This week for Knits in Space, I'm so excited to share that I was able to attend a live production with COVID-safe parameters at Palo Alto Players with Kevin from the 42nd Stitch podcast. And it was so much fun. We were masked and bundled up and 6 feet apart. And it was two seats. It was very cozy, actually.
And outside,
which outdoor theater is something we've loved for ages. I've loved for ages. You as well. You used to accompany me to Shakespeare Santa Cruz.
Yep. Yes, Santa Cruz.
Which I talk about in, I think, the most recent episode of the 42nd Stitch podcast. So I'm not going to talk too much about that, but I just wanted to say how much it filled my heart to be able to attend live theater and get that live performance buzz again.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of getting my birthday chair delivered today or yesterday, I will be having my birthday dinner tonight. I'm going with a friend who for my birthday said she wants to take me out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go have oysters at a place that is spectacular. And I'm so excited that our vaccines are working and we're able to dine outdoors safely.
Outdoors.
Yeah. Also, it's like a gorgeous day. So I can't imagine why we would want to be indoors anyway. So I'm really excited that that's going, and Mom is going to come with us to Hickleby's to sign some more books tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to do that today, but we're running out of time, and I still have to get my fancy birthday clothes on because the dress I bought for Persian New Year last year didn't get worn, so I'm going to wear it to my birthday dinner tonight. A new dress is a new dress is a new dress, Mom.
Absolutely.
So I'm so excited to get to see human faces again that are fully vaccinated and outside their two-week window. And I'm just so happy. And Mom gets to run errands with me, which she is delighted about as well.
Yes.
And have we already told the listeners that you're going to start running errands for me now?
No.
Oh, Mom said that she would start running errands for me, which makes me the happiest person on the planet. So that it takes something off of my workload.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets to be out in humanity. So, that said, do you have anything you want to add?
Nope.
Let's move on to the next segment. This week for Straw into Gold, nothing terribly exciting. I sewed a drive band on the Saxony wheel, and then I had to sew it again because as I spun on it, it does that thing where it stretches out. And I complained and I complained and I complained.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it done and I did a beautiful job of it. And now it's spinning like butter. And can I tell you, so it was a little bit rattly and I did all the usual troubleshooting stuff. I oiled, I cleaned, I moved things around. And I finally was at the end of my, what is it called? My tech support rope. Like all of the things that you usually do to tech support anything. Mm-hmm. I turned it off. I turned it back on again. It's a spinning wheel. A regular spinning wheel, not even an electric one.
Okay.
So I called a friend of mine who also happens to be a Schacht dealer, but they are a wheel mechanics wizard. That's the best way I can put it. 1 second of looking at my wheel the last time, and they were able to help me troubleshoot the issue. And this was a different wheel. And so I texted them and I said, listen, I know that you don't run the knitting shop anymore, but I'm having an issue with my wheel and I was hoping you could help me. And they were like, yeah, just call me after dinner, because it was like right before dinner. And so I did. And between FaceTime and everything, the issue was resolved and it was just tightening things so that there wasn't as much play, and now it's purring like a kitten. This is the big Schacht Reeves that I've been spinning on, and I just wanted to get that up and moving because it's a pity to have such a beautiful wheel going unused, especially when you've got fibers that want to be spun fine and tight like cashmere or silk. Or
it was a minor adjustment too.
Very, very minor, but made such a difference because you were listening to it rattling and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was lovely, and it's got that lovely hum now, not nothing, but it was just one of those things where it made such a huge difference.
Now it purrs.
It does. And that's why it's great to have, to be able to shop with a local Schacht dealer, because they still are Schacht dealers, even if they aren't running a yarn shop exactly. So it was a huge, it was really great that they got the training on how to help troubleshoot these issues. So I'm really happy about that. I just did some spinning, a little bit of spinning, and I cleared off some bobbins where I moved them from spinning bobbins to storage bobbins. Because I've got a lot of big projects going, and I just want, I wanted to do something where I could see some progress, and clearing off bobbins is a good way of doing that.
Yeah.
It's part of the whole, like, cleaning up the living room thing I was doing.
Dr. Gemma is posting pictures where she is.
She's spinning every day, yeah.
Yes.
Yep, she is. She's got the bug back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
Let's talk about sewing.
Yes. Well, my lingerie class is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm planning to take a class in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I will let everybody know what that is as soon as I'm signed up for it.
Wonderful.
So classes were recorded, and that is good. And my final project for the lingerie class was supposed to be a final full-length slip. But the problem was the fabric was back ordered at Tysil.
Oh, that's right.
And I didn't have
the yardage.
So a slip for myself. Good thing we ordered
two projects worth. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought to yourself, thank goodness I bought that extra fabric? This is that time. Your time has finally come.
Yes. And you picked a teddy.
I did.
And so the fabric came. You said you wanted a gold tone.
Yeah.
And it was very much gold. I thought you wanted the butternut. No. Squash blossom yellow.
I do, but most places don't have it. So I'm going to buy some silk yardage and ask Lisa to throw it in the pot for me.
That is Lisa Souza from Lisa Souza
Dye Works. Yeah.
Dye Works. Yes. So mine didn't come, and you didn't want a full-length slip. You wanted a teddy. And we ordered
to wear under my spring dresses that are all bright yellow.
So we ordered some lace because the project needed lace and
silk and things.
Good fabric.
Yeah.
And I put the pattern. So what I did is I copied the commercial pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new look pattern onto examination room paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just finished a class where I made a sloper for you, so mm-hmm. a master pattern for you, and I superimposed the commercial pattern onto your pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't quite there. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to hack into expensive silk fabric.
You're going to make a muslin first.
I made a muslin. And how did that work?
I'm glad you did, because you had to add 4 inches to the length in total.
It was too tight and uncomfortable.
It was way too tight. It cut me right up the front.
So
2 halves of Jasmine just walking around.
I cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
And added 2 inches, and you said, this is still too tight
mm-hmm.
and uncomfortable. So I ended up lengthening it by 4 inches total.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I've grown taller during the pandemic. I have not grown taller during the pandemic. I read an article that Threads magazine put out about making a sloper from a blouse pattern. I'm going to send it to you, but also link it in the show notes, because I think it's actually it's not going to be as perfect as the one you did in class, but I think it's more achievable for people who are just trying to do it and they don't have the support of the class.
Yeah.
And they want to just try it. So I'm going to include the link in the show notes, and I'll send it to you too, so you
can
read it.
We need something that is feasible for everybody.
Absolutely. But I was thinking about doing that without your help to see if somebody who doesn't have a Gigi can do it.
That's an excellent plan.
Okay, so unrelated. Are you done talking about your sewing?
No.
Oh, no, keep going.
So.
Yes, we're talking about sewing. Continue.
So. I knew how much larger I needed to make the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I cut it on the lengthen and shorten here line
mm-hmm.
and wedged a 4-inch piece of paper in the middle and taped it down.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is after you traced the pattern.
I traced the pattern.
So you didn't
yes.
cut the, what is it, yellow paper, tan paper?
Yes, I didn't cut the original pattern, because every time I cut and something isn't working, I've ruined my pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I had washed and ironed the silk.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And before I washed it, I ran it through the serger
mm-hmm.
so it wouldn't ravel all over.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it in the washer and then dried it and ironed it. And then I put it on my cutting table and... What I should have done is I should have basted the paper
mm-hmm.
to the fabric to keep it from...
Wiggling around?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, swimming?
And I dug out my good silk cutting shears, which have a serrated edge,
mm-hmm.
and I still wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I got kind of a little bit of chewed up edges.
Hmm.
I dug out my rotary cutter, and that was better.
Yep.
Also, I think for a new project like this, I should have put in a new blade.
Mm-hmm. How many miles can you put on a blade before you have to swap it out? Do they tell you?
Don't know.
TBD.
You're supposed to use a new needle.
Yeah, but a needle's like $1, and a rotary cutter blade is not $1.
No, it's a little bit more. But you get more than...
One project.
One project.
Sure.
Also, if you cut over needles and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that drastically reduces
the
life of the
yep.
blade. Yeah. So the next thing I did, I stay stitched every seam line.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you only do the curves. I stay stitched everything.
Oh.
With a little bit more work.
Yeah.
But there's a trick to my sewing. When I match seam lines, mm-hmm. when I match match cutting lines, I can feel my stay stitching and I can match them together.
Mm-hmm.
And if I sew just a hair to the side of the matching lines,
mm-hmm.
the stay stitching doesn't show and I have exact seams.
Lovely.
Yeah. And that's my trick.
Very cool.
So, and this is cut on the bias.
Mm-hmm. It has really beautiful drape and it swooshes nicely.
That's why, because it is cut on the bias. Mm-hmm. So that was good. And it has spaghetti straps. And turning spaghetti straps is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wonder if there's a thing on Pinterest that shows you how to do it in an easier way.
There's
always something on Pinterest.
There's tricks. So also, I needed to have picot lace on the very edge.
Mm-hmm.
And the lace we bought, one was bright white
mm-hmm.
and one was orange.
Hmm.
And neither one of them worked. And we had bought lace, and this is kind of off-white.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a kind of galloon lace edge and a picot edge at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So I harvested some of the picot.
Very.
To get this lovely edge.
That is ingenious.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So.
She's a MacGyver of the sewing machine.
And then I had to do a 5/8 inch hem.
Mm-hmm. Which is standard.
Which is standard. And it says, so 5/8 inch hem, and then press it, and then fold it to the pressed line and stitch. That was a lot of pressing.
Yeah.
So.
I'm very impressed.
And you know, I don't iron.
No,
but
you press.
I always press when I'm sewing. So what is remains is to fit the straps on you and attach it to the back lace, to the edges of the back lace.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be lovely. And I took lots of pictures while I was sewing, step by step.
So I'm going to put those in an Instagram story because you sent them to me.
Excellent.
Which will be fun.
So yeah.
All right.
And so last night was the final class,
mm-hmm.
and we shared the projects
mm-hmm.
with the rest of the classmates.
Excellent.
A couple of them made bralettes
mm-hmm.
and a lot of panties, and one of the gals made a swimsuit.
A swimsuit? Cool.
Yeah. And yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Nobody made a teddy.
Just you?
Yeah.
All
and
right.
That was my class for this semester.
All right.
And it sounds like we came to the end of the seam.
This week we'd like to thank Knit Companion, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Oink Pigments, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything, can be found in the show notes, and you can leave comments there, which you can find at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. You can send any questions, comments, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Spotify Podcasts, Pandora Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, as Knit More Girls. And if Ravelry is a safe website for you to use, we still have a forum group on there. Remember, this is Jasmine.
And Gigi,
telling you to knit more.